ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் ஹ்ரீம் நம சிவாய. ஓம் த்ரம்பகயஜாமஹே சுகந்திம் புஷ்டிவர்தனம் உர்வாருகமிவ பந்தனான் மிருத்யோர்முக்ஷீய மாம்ருதாத். ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நம. ஹரி ஓம். மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத் க்ருபா தமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். யம் ப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ர மருதஹ ஸ்துன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைஹ வேதைஹ சாங்கபதக்ரமோபநிஷதைஹ காயந்தி யம் சாமகாஹ த்யானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தி யம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விருசுரா சுரகணாஹ தேவாய தஸ்மை நமஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. ஞான கர்ம சந்நியாஸ யோகோ நாம சதுர்த்தோத்யாயஹ. ஞான கர்ம சந்நியாஸ யோகோ நாம சதுர்த்தோத்யாயஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. கத சங்கஸ்ய முக்தஸ்ய ஞானாவஸ்தித சேதஸஹ யஜ்ஞாயாசரதஃ கர்ம சமக்ரம் ப்ரவிலீயதே. So here we saw yesterday, one who knows the absolute reality, the swarupam of Ishvara, the swarupam of Avatara as one's own swarupam, is the one who is free from attachment, is the one who is free from limitations for good, and his karma becomes resolved for good. All his karma becomes resolved for good. And such a person performs karma. Still he performs karma. How does he perform? Yajnaya karma acharati. He performs karma as an offering to the Lord. See, a karma yogi also performs karma with an attitude of offering it to the Lord. But here this wise person also performs karma as an offering to the Lord. Which means, this person has already offered himself to the Lord. The wise person is the one who has already offered himself to the Lord. Offering oneself to the Lord is in terms of knowledge. Here, as a wise, when we say wise person has offered himself to the Lord, means it's a cognitive offering, not physically offering something. The one who has recognized his swarupam being identical with Paramatma swarupam, Ishvara swarupam, is the one who has understood his swarupam being identical with Paramatma swarupam. The one who has recognized his swarupam being non-different from Paramatma swarupam is the one who has offered himself to the Lord. There's no real offering, isn't it? So no more isolation on the part of a wise person. As long as one is ignorant of one's own Swarupam, being identical with Paramatma Swarupam, one remains as though distanced from the Lord, the whole. And in the wake of the knowledge, when one understands one's Swarupam being identical with Paramatma Swarupam, it is as though offering oneself to Paramatma, as though becoming one with Paramatma. Is this in terms of knowledge, no, cognitively becoming one with Paramatma, not physically one becoming one with Paramatma, is actually offering oneself to the Lord, which means resolving one's identity with Ishvara. Understanding that the substance of the substantive I being consciousness, which is Paramatma Swarupam. This knowledge is what actually offering oneself to the Lord. This person cognitively having offered, you know, having offered himself in terms of knowledge to Bhagavan, whatever karma he performs, all that karma is what? Only worship for, isn't it? Because this is the offering oneself to Bhagavan is the highest form of offering, the exalted form of offering. Because the very act of the worship itself is an act of offering. And offering the offerer is the conclusion of the culmination of the act of offering. Offering whom, offering which, the act of offering cannot continue. The act of very act of offering comes to an end is what? Is the jnanam, isn't it? This is the exalted form of offering. The exalted form of offering is offering the very offerer. I told you many times in the class also, this is the significance of Purnahuti. I already explained to you in the class. If there is a ritual and oblations are offered into the fire, invoking the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas, then everything is offered. And there is one ahuti, the final oblation, offering which the yajna comes to an end, is called Purnahuti. Similarly, here also, the Purnahuti actually is symbolic of this jnanam. Here also, you offer so many things to the Lord, but when you offer yourself to Bhagavan, the offerer being offered to Bhagavan, the offerer is not there anymore. Therefore, the act of offering cannot continue. Therefore, the offering of the offerer puts an end to the very act of offering. Therefore, it is the exalted form of offering. And this is, that's why the jnanam is said to be the exalted form of worship. Sreshta bhaktihi is jnana bhaktihi. Jnana bhaktihi means seeing everything as Bhagavan, which means there is no individual I, there is no jagat, there is only Ishvara. There is no division, all that is here is Ishvara. With this understanding, when a person performs karma, you know, because of the parabdha, still parabdha is that, not parabdha is not afflicting the wise person, but still the parabdha is done by the body. Parabdha karma is exhausted here. The body alone goes through parabdha, the wise person is free, because notionally he is free. Therefore, such a person is what? The one who is performing, offering everything as an act of worship, isn't it? Offering everything, he performs karma as an offering to the Lord. This is the absolute surrender, isn't it? One who offers himself and all his activities at the feet of the Lord is in fact cognitively having resolved his identity with Paramatma. This is called Yajnaya Karma Acharanam. Such a person is free from sanchita agami karmas, and prarabdha karma alone is exhausted. here. And even though Parabdha is exhausted, this person is unafflicted by the Parabdha that is exhausted. Okay, that is what is said here. We saw that yesterday. We'll continue with that. As we saw already, from verse number 18 to 24, these are the verses wherein the Jnana Yoga, the subject matter of this topic, is discussed intensely. And then the following verse, let us see this verse now. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Brahma karma samadhina. Okay. This is the most significant verse and the highly philosophical, most important verse also. One of the verses, most important verses, and we find very few verses like this verse in Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Vedantic teaching vision is totally presented. The total vision of Vedantic teaching is presented in very few verses. What it means, total vision of the Vedantic teaching is presented in this verse, means we have to understand the teaching, that how the teaching is presented. The teaching is presented in three stages, at three levels. When we start our study, we come to the class with an understanding. Basically, all of us, as children, when we grow also, we all have very strong eyesense in the body. Very strong eyesense. Even now we have strong eyesense in the body, means what? For us, eye means body. I means just this physical body. We are so gross. We do not know anything more than this physical body as the meaning of I. And as we are growing older little, we find out, oh, there's something called death happens. And then before death, there's something which is there in the physical body. After death also, what? The body continues to be there. The same body which was there, the same weight, same height, the body is there. But what made this body dead? Something has gone out, isn't it? Something is inside. So there's something more than this gross body, during the presence of which the body was alive, and during the absence of which the body is dead. It is as good as a piece of wood, which was something different, more than this body. This next slight, level of high level of understanding. But we do not know what it is. And as we study the Vedanta Shastram, we understand there is something called a Sukshma Shariram. And then we understand there is also, then Atma is inside me. First understanding is what? There is Atma in me. The Atma in me first. Then we understand Atma in me first. The next understanding comes, the first level of Vedantic understanding is Atma is consciousness, and the body, mind, sense complex is Anatma, and the Anatma is material product, Atma is consciousness. The first level we understand is what? Atma, Anatma, Vivekaha. We have this much we understand. There is Atma, the consciousness, and Anatma, the body, mind, its complex, which is material product. So every individual is a combination of both Atma and Anatma. This becomes very clear at the very first level. And when we understand this difference, we know this Atma, the consciousness, is one. And this consciousness, one, indivisible, partless. One indivisible, partless Atma is nothing but consciousness. The one indivisible, partless consciousness is eternal, beginningless, endless. It is changeless. And it's beginningless, endless, changeless, eternal consciousness is independent of this body, mind, sense complex for its existence. And this independent consciousness pervades the body, mind, sense complex. And through pervasiveness, by pervading this body, mind, sense complex, enlivens this body, makes this body energized. At the same time, this consciousness is not limited by the peripheries of this body, mind, sense complex. It goes beyond the body, mind, sense complex. So Atma is conscious. Atma, the consciousness, one, indivisible, partless, eternal, independent, all-pervasive consciousness, pervades this body, mind, sense complex, but is not limited by the boundaries of this body, mind, sense complex. Which means it is not a part or product or property of this material at all. It is not but part of the material, product of the material, that property. It is an independent entity. And that this much we understand. This is the first level of understanding. The second level, what we understand is, and of this Anatma matter, the material products, body, mind, sense complex, and this all-pervasive, indivisible, partless whole consciousness, this consciousness alone is the meaning of I. I am that consciousness. The consciousness, in fact, what now? I am consciousness. This is the second level of understanding. I am consciousness. First, you understand this Drishya Viveka Prakriya. When we use the Shastram, you understand through that Prakriya, you distinguish the consciousness from the body, mind, sense complex. Understand the nature of consciousness, how it is all pervasive, how it is one, how it is indivisible, how it is partless, how it is beginningless, how it is timeless. We understand, and through the analysis of the nature of the consciousness, then you understand consciousness, nature of the consciousness. Then you understand that consciousness being the substance of the substantive I is the second level of understanding. Now what happened now? You got now I, and now you can change it now. I am consciousness. I mean, you can say I the self am consciousness. This becomes very clear. Second level. But now still what do we have? Consciousness is, and what happened is body, mind, sense complex becomes included in the part of the entire objective universe, which is material universe, isn't it? Now you still have consciousness and matter. The material universe, which includes your material body, mind, sense complex. Still what you have now? Two. Consciousness and matter are two. And from here till now, in the second chapter, from the verse number 12 to the 25th verse, when Krishna discussed the nature of the self, we understood only this much. Consciousness being distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, and you understood the nature of consciousness. You also understand that consciousness being the swarupam of I, the truth of I. But Krishna has not yet discussed one more thing. What is that? He has not yet discussed about the matter, isn't it? Now still we have the understanding that there are two, consciousness and matter. And from there, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a sudden leap. Sudden leap means what? Krishna is going to say, this, what about this matter? Material universe, the entire objective material universe, including your body, mind, sense complex, is only an appearance of the one and the same, only secondless, partless, indivisible, independent consciousness. Which means matter is, because very difficult for us to understand, that's why I said it's a very big leap. Because the gross, tangible universe which I'm experiencing, including my body maintenance complex, is the most abstract, incomprehensibly subtle appearance of that consciousness. If we say, it is very difficult to understand, isn't it? But still, the fact is, because this universe, this material universe, has no independent existence outside of me, the conscious being, outside of me, the observer consciousness, the knower, the experiencer consciousness. The known universe, the material known universe, has no independent existence outside of the knower consciousness. It's quite a big leap. How do we say this? There is no opaque object which exists, which can enjoy the status of being existent outside of the light. Wherever the opaque object shines, it has the status of being existent, there must be the light. Independently, without the light, the opaque object can never enjoy the status of being existent. It cannot shine by itself. The light does not produce the... Look, see, in front of me there is a mic here. And there is light here. Very bright light. Unusual for London. And then my color, the form, the colorful flowers, all these things shine. Imagine this light is not here. There's no light at all. In pitch, utter darkness, can you see any of these things here? You cannot see anything, nor can I see all your faces also. Which means light does not create the opaque object called mic. Light does not produce, manufacture, create. Light does not do any action to bring all these objects to light. Light is present by its mere presence. By its mere presence, in the very presence of the light, opaque objects come to light. Opaque objects shine. This is called sannidhyam, isn't it? Sannidhi matrena. By its mere presence, in its mere presence, the opaque objects come to light. There is no light means opaque objects cannot come to light, cannot shine. The opaque things which cannot shine, do not shine by themselves, will be as good as non-existent. Therefore, what is that which lends existence to the opaque objects? The light, isn't it? But lending existence to the opaque object also is not an action on the part of the light. Illumining the opaque object is lending existence to the opaque object. Is it clear? Illumining is lending existence. And illumining also is not an action on the part of the light. It is the very swarupam, nature. And you carefully listen, very important verse, important lesson. Illumination, illumining is not an action, even though we use it like going, coming, sitting, seeing. We always hear the only actions come to our mind. Illumining is not an action. It is the very nature of the light. So illumining is the swarupam. Therefore lending existence. So through illumining, illumining is lending existence. Bringing the opaque to light is lending existence. So light by its mere presence, through illumination, by its nature, it lends existence to the opaque object. Therefore, opaque, wherever opaque shines, opaque enjoys the status of being existent. It, there is what? Light must be there. Without the light, opaque can never enjoy separate existence. Opaque has no independent existence. And one more thing you have to remember, light and opaque thing are physically non-distensible. You can never distance the opaque thing from the light and make it shine. Nor can the light be separated. So light and opaque are physically non-distensible, inseparable. Non-separate. But here light is not dependent on the opaque for its existence or to come to light. Light is self-luminous. Light is of the nature of effulgence. So it is self-luminous. Whereas opaque thing is dependent on the light. Why I say light is self-luminous? Light is self-luminous means light is of the nature of effulgence, means you need not bring another torch light to see whether there is light here or not. You need not bring another torch light. Why? Because light is self-revealing. When compared to the opaque thing, from the standpoint of the opaque, don't go to eyes and all, okay? Now example is different. In the standpoint of the opaque, light has independent existence. Whereas opaque thing is dependent on light in terms of being illumined, thereby to come to light, thereby to has the status of being existent. Therefore, we say this light is as good as the cause, and the opaque is as good as the effect. When you say light is as good, light is not the cause, but light is as good as the cause, because light is independent of the opaque, but opaque is dependent on the light for its existence. The opaque is as good as the effect. When you see the light and opaque is not, or not, light is not the cause, opaque is not the product or effect, but still we say light is as good as the cause, opaque is as good as the effect, because it has no independent existence. When you say it is as good as the cause, opaque is as good as the effect, we say light alone, isn't it, shines in the form of the opaque also. Understand? Light alone appears in the form of all the opaque things. Light alone shines in the form of all the opaque things. Similarly, here we can say the whole material universe also. The entire material universe minus consciousness will be as good as non-existent. Because this universe, to have the status of being existent, it needs to be known. To have the status of being the known, it is dependent on the knower. And there is no knower other than consciousness. Therefore, this universe has no independent existence outside of the consciousness. So knowing is the nature, just as illumining is the nature of the light, swarupam of the light, knowing is the swarupam of consciousness. The truth, knowing, is not an action on the part of consciousness, it is the swarupam. So by its mere presence, through knowing, by its swarupam, this universe is what now? Universe becomes known. The universe has a status of being the known, thereby universe enjoys existence. Through knowledge, through knowing, consciousness alone lends existence to the universe, the material universe. Through knowledge, just as light lends existence to the opaque world of objects, through its swarupam of illumination, so also consciousness lends existence to the material universe through its swarupam of knowledge, knowing. Understand? Therefore, we say this entire universe is nothing but appearance of the consciousness. The consciousness alone shines as the universe. This is something it is difficult for you to comprehend. How can tangible, gross universe be the appearance of the invisible consciousness? This is a fact. In fact, Shastram says there is no matter other than consciousness. Consciousness is not the matter. Consciousness is not the matter. Consciousness is distinct from the matter. But there is no matter other than consciousness. There is no matter other than consciousness. So the whole universe is manifestation of consciousness, which means the matter also becomes, universe also becomes resolved in consciousness. It's like this resolving the essence in consciousness is easy, isn't it? But resolving the whole material universe in consciousness is the difficult step. The final step. Jagattaha layaha, isn't it? Entire universe becomes resolved in consciousness. Resolution. It is like seeing It's like saying wave is water. The entire ocean is water when you say. There is no ocean is water. When you say, you're resolving the ocean in the water. Resolving the ocean in the water means saying the water alone appears as the ocean. Ocean is nothing but an appearance of the water. They're not two different things. Water and ocean are not two different things. Because water is separate, ocean is separate, why do we get two different names then? Why do we use two different words as water and ocean? Because ocean is the appearance, water is the truth. The appearance is different, isn't it? Water is there. We use two different words, but still we can't count them as two different independent things. Why? Because the truth is one. The truth, water alone is substance. There is no substantiality of the name and form ocean. If we remove the water, independently without the water, the ocean can exist. Then you can say the ocean is a second thing. You can count the ocean as a second thing other than water. The ocean will, the name and form ocean will lose its existence when the water is removed. So ocean cannot be counted as a second reality, parallel reality. There is no independent existence. If two things have independent existence, then you can count as one and two. This is a book. This is a mic. One, two. Two things are there. Mic, no, this book is a three. Also, why? Because without the book, mic specs can be. Without the specs and mic, the book also mic can be. If an object has independent existence, then you can count that object. You take these specs from my hand away. You take this book also away from here. Still, the mic will be. Mic will not disappear, isn't it? Which means if it has an independent existence, we can count it as a next thing. With reference to ocean, if you remove the water, will there be ocean independently without the water? It will not be. Therefore, ocean is not a second thing, a countable thing. Water is the only countable substance. Therefore, water is the only reality. The entire ocean is non-countable. Namarupa. Just the Namarupa, name and form. Just an appearance of the only reality called water. That is why water alone is in the form of every wave, all the waves which constitute the ocean. Similarly here, consciousness is the only reality and which alone appears as this universe. Which is this, the entire universe is the manifestation of consciousness. There is no second reality other than consciousness. What about this matter? Consciousness is not the matter, but still matter is not a second equally parallel equal reality. Not a parallel reality. Because matter has no independent existence. Therefore, it doesn't have the countability. It cannot be counted as a second parallel reality. That is why we say they are not one. Consciousness, you can't say consciousness, you don't need to use even and there. Consciousness is distinct from the matter. At the same time, matter has no independent existence. Matter cannot be counted as a secondary parallel reality. They are not two. That is why we say consciousness is satyam, the material universe is mithya. Mithya means that which is as though, that which has no independent existence. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of consciousness. Like saying the entire ocean is nothing but water. Similarly, it must become very clear the whole jagat is manifestation of only substance, only reality called consciousness. This is called what? You are not pushing anything into anything. You are just cognitively resolving the universe in consciousness. This cognitive resolution of universe in consciousness, understand, is called Brahma Darshanam. Advaita Darshanam is what? No, Advaita Brahma Darshanam. It's like, I'll give a simple example. When you go to the jewelry shop also, varieties of ornaments you see, and different names and different forms. Even though you see different names and different forms, you are very clear all the different names, such as bangle, chain, ring, etc. All these different names and forms are all of one of the only substance, only thing called gold. The gold alone, gold is the only substance. All these ornaments are just names and forms. If they're two different things, ornament and gold are two different independent things, then you can always say, you keep your gold with you, let me take the chain with me. You have to pay the money for gold, not for the chain, isn't it? When you're paying the money for the chain, you're paying money for gold. Gold, weight of the gold is the weight of the ornament. They are two. Similarly, Jagat and Brahma are not two. Advaitam Brahma. So, in each, even though you see so many ornaments, in all of them you see one thing called, that's called unity in diversity. What you see is gold, 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 isn't it? When you see the chain, you see the gold. When you see the bangle, you see the gold. When you see the ring, you see the gold. When you see the stud, you see the gold. When you see the bracelet, you see the gold. When you see the hip belt, you see the gold. Gold in all the ornaments is called what now? Advaita Swarna Drishtihi, Swarna Darshanam. Abharana Loke Advaita Swarna Darshanam. It is the vision of the non-dual gold in all the world of ornaments. In all the ways, you see what in the world of the entire ocean of full of waves, you see one substance called water. You do not see the ocean. Where is the ocean? There's no ocean, only water is. When you say ocean is not water alone is in the form of ocean, means you see only water. This is called what now? You have shifted your drishti vision from the ocean namarupa to the water. You have to shift your attention, the vision from the ornament to the gold. It is difficult for us to digest. Suppose if the scientists say all the metals are nothing but energy, the platinum, gold, silver, iron, all different, brass, copper, all the metals are energy. All the metals are energy. Let me give my copper chain to you and you give me your gold chain because all are energy. Which means in vyavahara, in transactions, we retain duality. But absolutely, we have to cognitively accept the fact copper also is energy, Gold also is energy. All the metals are one and the same energy. But the energy is invisible, intangible energy. Now, if some physics knowledge, we definitely will understand all these gross, tangible, heavy metals. You know, kilos, people have to go for kilos and kilos. The steel companies know for the steel, iron, ore. Whereas in gold, you have to go small grams. Grams you have to go and buy, isn't it? But still, all these metals are actually originally one energy. The tangible gross metals are one intangible energy means. But Shastram goes much ahead again, says what? This grossest universe, the grossest universe of incomprehensibly vast universe is nothing but abstract consciousness. Consciousness is not the gross universe, but the gross universe is manifestation of the most abstract consciousness, which is the substance of the substantive I. Understand? Therefore, as the truth of the whole universe, we say consciousness is Brahma. The same consciousness, the truth of the individual is impaired by the term Atma. Then you can say, Aham Brahma Asmi. You don't need to say the whole Jagat is manifestation of consciousness. You can say, I the self am this whole. This is purely cognitive, isn't it? If you still have eye sense in the body, you can't say. If you have shifted the eye sense from body, mind sense complex to consciousness, then you can say, I am the whole. This is called what? No, this is what? Like how seeing the gold in all the varied, seeing the only gold as the only substance of the non-substantial names and forms, ornaments, is in fact resolving the world of ornaments in the truth of gold. Similarly, resolving all the waves in water means waves in water is what? Seeing the water in all the waves. The water as the only reality in all the non-substantial names and forms. Waves is called resolving the ocean in the water. The dissolving the ocean in the water is equal to having the vision of the water. Called what? No, Jala Darshanam, Swarna Darshanam. Swarna Darshanam means what? Seeing the gold being as the only reality appearing in all the ornaments, the form of ornaments, is called Swarna Darshanam. In the same way, seeing the whole Jagat as the manifestation of reality and is cognitively resolving the universe in consciousness, Brahman, is called Brahma Darshanam. The one who has this, the third level of the teaching, with which this is the vision of the Shastra. First three levels, isn't it? First, distinguish the consciousness, understand the consciousness as the Swarupam of Aham, then later on, resolve the entire material universe, including your body, mind, and complex, as the manifestation or appearance of that only consciousness. This is called Advaita Brahma Darshanam. Is it clear? Okay. Now, if there is this wise person, Jnani, is the one who has, whose vision, whose understanding, who has this vision of the whole universe as the manifestation of Brahman, and whose attention, who cannot lose sight of the vision of Brahman in everything. How you cannot lose sight of gold in each ornament. The Jnani is the one who cannot lose sight of consciousness in all the objects of knowledge. in all the experiences, in all the objects of knowledge, is the one who remains absorbed in the vision of the truth. The one who has absorption, now one who cannot lose sight of the truth, Brahman, the consciousness, one who remains absorbed in the vision of the truth, is said, what now? Samadhi here. So Brahma Samadhi. Brahma Samadhi. Samadhi means absorption, remaining fixed. Fixed means what? Not that remaining fixed. You all have that fixed vision of the gold in all the ornaments. You cannot see the ornament without the gold. When you see the ornament, you are seeing the gold. You can't miss it. You don't see only chain. Similarly, this jnani is the one. When he sees everything and anything, he can't lose sight of Brahman there. The consciousness. Not as an object, okay? Now he understood consciousness, so he sees. One has clear vision of the truth here. Therefore, one, this is what? Having one's attention fixed in the truth, having one's vision absorbed in the truth. The samadhi here is absorption. And karma means all our transactions. So Brahma Karma Samadhi, it means here the wise person. Who is Brahma Karma Samadhi? Wise person. Who is the why wise person is called Brahma Karma Samadhi? The one who has the vision of Brahman. The consciousness in all the activities. As what? As his own Swarupam. Yesterday I gave the example. Hope you remember the example. When you travel somewhere and right from the house, you pack everything, you go, you get into the car, you go to the airport, and there again you do a lot of things. You do shopping, no, not even traveling. Even when you go out for shopping also, you do all the activities. When you go to IKEA, you do all shopping, or Sainsbury, wherever it is, and you do all the shopping, you buy what all you need. Oh, I want this for cooking, I want this for washing, I want this for that. You don't forget. You know, I want this for that, I want this for this, this is for that, this is for that. You go and for purpose. There is a purpose for buying a surf or soap or paste or some groceries or vegetables. You buy, this is for cooking, this is for washing, this is for cleaning, this is for that. You buy a whole lot of shopping and you give money, you take money, you count the money, you keep everything carefully, close the purse and open the gate. Where is the phone? Where is the... Carefully you are doing everything. But you know one thing, after buying everything also, you are buying everything for home, you have to come back home. Do you forget that? Yeah, I came here, what did I come here for? I bought everything, where should I take them back? Oh, where should I go back now? Do you have any doubt about it? It's so clear. Every small thing you pick up, I'm buying, I'm taking it home, I'm going back 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 home. Do you forget that? Do you need to remember that? Without requiring to remember, which means you have your absorption, you have the absorption. What's absorption here? You are very clear, you are buying everything, no? Ultimately, you have to go back home, that you will not forget. Getting back home is something very clear. Don't need to remember at all. We are so clear. In the same way here, this person, whatever activities he is involved in, why this person has understood the fact, Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Brahma Asti, Aham Idam Sarvam. I the self am consciousness. All that is here is consciousness. Therefore, I am the whole. I am all this. This vision is so clear. There's nothing which is not Brahman for him. There's nothing which is not reality for him, consciousness, the truth for him. That is why we say it is something, the spiritual vision is something very, very important and very exalted. There's no greater wisdom than this vision. Everything. This person is Brahma Karma Samadhi means this verse also is talking about a Grihastha Jnani, the householder Jnani. So the householder Jnani means he is still involved in all his activities. He has not left any activity. As a Grihastha Jnani, he gets up in the morning, as head of the family, he must be doing all his activities, regular activities. Even though he is involved in all his regular day-to-day activities, he remains absorbed in the vision of the truth. That vision of the truth is something he cannot lose. He's so clear. Understand? All that is here is only Brahma. There's nothing which is not the reality for him. And such a person, the one who sees Brahman in everything, just as you see the one gold in all the ornaments, just as you see one water in all the waves, you see one and the same indivisible light in all the opaque things. This person sees the only consciousness, the only Brahma in all his actions. See, there's nothing which exists there, no action, no performer, no performed, no performance, nothing exists for him outside of consciousness, Brahma. Therefore, such a person is said to be Brahma Karma Samadhihi. It's okay? And this Brahma, this person, wise person, how does he see? Look at this. Here Krishna wants to visualize. Krishna, in fact, visualizes. He sees the Grihastha Jnani as the one who is regularly performing all his rituals. So the Vaidika Grihastha, the Grihastha who lives a Vedic way of life, in those days must have been performing regularly the rituals. So here Krishna sees this Grihastha Jnani who is a performer of a ritual. And in that vision of the performer of the ritual, who is a wise person, what is this ritual about? He starts like this, Brahmarpanam, in the act of offering. Isn't it? Arpanam means what? The act of offering is arpanam. But here you should take it as the instrument of offering oblations. Arpanam is a gerund, means offering, the act of offering. But here, the word arpanam should be taken as the ladle, the wooden ladle with which the performers offer oblations. Okay? The instrument of offering the oblation. The wooden ladle. Paathirukkeengala? It's called Arpanam here. So Brahma Arpanam means for him the instrument used, the wooden ladle, used for offering the oblations is Brahma, reality. Brahma Arpanam Brahma. The ladle is Brahman. Brahma Arpanam. Whose vision? For this person, listen. Brahma Arpanam. Then Brahma Havihi. Havihi means, Havis means oblation. It can be ghee or it can be any other oblation offered into the fire. The offering, the oblation offered is called Havihi. Brahma Havihi. The oblation offered into the fire also is Brahma. The instrument of offering is Brahma. the oblation offered is also Brahma. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Okay, the fire into which the oblation is offered, that fire is also Brahma. Brahmagnau, Brahma Agnihi. Agnihi, the fire into which the oblation is offered, is also Brahma. So Brahma Arpanam Brahma, Havihi Brahma, Agnihi Brahma. Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi, Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam. Even the performance hutam, the one, the performer, the one who offerer is also Brahma. The performer of the ritual here, Brahmana Hutam, the one by whom offered is also what now? Offerer also is Brahma. Offerer is Brahma. What is offered is Brahma. The act of offering is Brahma. The instrument of offering is Brahma. The oblation is Brahma. The fire into which offered, no? Oblation is offered is also Brahma. So Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnihi, Brahmanahutam. And what has to be accomplished finally? Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam. Brahma Karma Samadhina. This Brahma Karma Samadhi is the one whose vision remains absorbed in, one who has the vision of Brahman in all his actions. The one who cannot lose sight of Brahman is called Brahma Karma Samadhi. By this Brahma Karma Samadhi, the wise person, the benefit of karma, the result of karma, what has to be accomplished is what? That is also Brahma. the action is Brahma. The performer of action is Brahma. The result of action is also Brahma. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Tena gantavyam means the result which has to be finally attained is also Brahma. So as a result of the performance of ritual, if a person has to be later on accomplish the heaven, understand? If there is no, we say by performing some specific rituals, a result of the performance of rituals, one can attain the higher loka, surga loka, as a result of the performance of ritual. Suppose if there is, okay, then that result, what now? Result of the ritual also is the fruit of the performance of ritual. The heaven is also Brahma. Gantavyam is also Brahma. What has to be attained as a result of the performance of ritual, that is also Brahma. And that Brahman is what? Heaven is myself. The ladder is myself. The offering is myself. The oblation offered is my swarupam. The fire into which the oblation is offered is my swarupam. Everything is Brahma. Okay? Tena gantavyam. By performing this ritual, what has to be accomplished finally as a result of the performance of ritual, that heaven, that result is also Brahma. Therefore, for this wise person, there is nothing which has to be accomplished. Why? Everything is Brahma, which is his own swarupam. So, Brahma Karma Samadhi means one who sees Brahman in all the transactions as the transaction-free consciousness. In all the transactions. This is what we saw already. Karmanya karmayav pashyet akarmanicha karmayah. We saw that. The transaction-free consciousness He sees this transaction-free consciousness as the only reality in all the finite transactions, in all the actions. So, Brahma Karma Samadhina, which means there's nothing which is not Brahma for this person. So, Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnihi, Brahma, the performer, Brahma, the Brahmana Hutam, then Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam. Tena, what has to be accomplished as a result of performance of ritual, the heaven is also Brahma. What is not Brahma for him? What is not Paramparul for him? This wise person. All that is here is only Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. Brahma Mokkate. There is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no self for him. There is no Jagat for him. There is no action for him. Understand? Wave, this wave is water, that wave is water, that wave is water, that wave is water, the entire ocean is water. Like this, for this person, Aham Brahma, everything is Brahma, all that is here is only Brahma. Is it clear? So, Brahma Karma Samadhina. What this verse says is, there is no second thing, second reality, there is no not even second thing for this wise person other than Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. The whole is manifestation of only Brahma. He is in this vision, he has resolved all the divisions and differences. Okay? So with this, the Jnana Yoga Sambandha Vishayaha, the subject matter connected to Jnana Yoga, the main teaching of the chapter, the focus of this chapter is on the teaching, the main teaching of the Shastram, that is over in this, with this verse. But the rest of the verses are not unimportant verses. I am saying the teaching can associate with Jnana Yoga subject matter is over with this. Have tea and come back soon.